dying young men who'd been at the back of the line when the chins were handed out. And as usual, he'd come back through the fog-bound city in a filthy temper with himself. He'd noticed a light under the kitchen door and heard conversation and laughter and had gone in. Willikins was there with the old man who stoked the boiler and the head gardener and the boy who cleaned the spoons and lit the fires. They were playing cards. There were bottles of beer on the table. He'd pulled up a chair and cracked a few jokes and asked to be dealt in. They'd been welcoming, in a way, but as the game progressed, Vimes had been aware of the universe crystallizing around him. It was like becoming a cogwheel in a glass clock. There was no laughter. They called him sir and kept clearing their throats. Everything was very careful. Finally, he'd mumbled an excuse and stumbled out. Halfway along the passage, he'd thought he heard a comment, followed by, well, maybe it was only a chuckle, but it might have been a snigger. The razor carefully circumnavigated the nose. Huh. A couple of years ago, a man like Willikins would have allowed him into the kitchen only on sufferance, and would have made him take his boots off. So that's your life now, Commander Sir Samuel Vimes. A jumped-up copper to the knobs and a knob to the rest, hm? He frowned at the reflection in the mirror. He'd started out in the gutter, true enough. And now he was on 3 meat meals a day, good boots, a warm bed at night, and come to that, a wife too. Good old Sybil. Although she did tend to talk about curtains these days. But Sergeant Colon had said this happened to wives and was a biological thing and perfectly normal. He'd actually been rather attached to his old cheap boots. He could read the street in them, the soles were so thin. It had got so that he could tell where he was on a pitch-dark night just by the feel of the cobbles. Oh, well. There was something mildly strange about Sam Vimes's shaving mirror. It was slightly convex, so that it reflected more of the room than a flat mirror would do, and it gave a very good view of the outbuildings and gardens beyond the window. Hmm. Going thin on top. Definitely a receding scalp there. Less hair to comb, but on the other hand, more face to wash. There was a flicker in the glass. He moved sideways and ducked. The mirror smashed. There was the sound of feet somewhere beyond the broken window, and then a crash and a scream. Vimes straightened up. He fished the largest piece of mirror out of the shaving bowl and propped it up on the black crossbow bolt that had buried itself in the wall. He finished shaving. Then he rang the bell for the butler. Willikins materialized. Sir? Vimes rinsed the razor. Get the boy to nip along to the glazier, will you? The butler's eyes flickered to the window and then to the shattered mirror. Yes, sir. And the bill to go to the Assassin's Guild again, sir? With my compliments. And while he's out, he's to call in at that shop in 5 and 7 Yard and get me another shaving mirror. The dwarf there knows the kind I like. Yes, sir, and I shall fetch a dustpan and brush directly, sir. Shall I inform her ladyship of this eventuality, sir? No, she always says it's my fault for encouraging them. Very good, sir, said Willikins. He dematerialized. Sam Vimes dried himself off and went downstairs to the morning room, where he opened the cabinet and took out the new crossbow Sybil had given him as a wedding present. Sam Vimes was used to the old guard crossbows, which had a nasty habit of firing backwards in a tight corner, but this was a burly and strong in the arm, made to measure job, with the oiled walnut stock. There was none finer, it was said. Then he selected a thin cigar and strolled out into the garden. There was a commotion coming from the Dragon House. Vimes entered and shut the door behind him. He rested the crossbow against the door. The yammering and squeaking increased. Little gouts of flame puffed above the thick walls of the hatching pens. Vimes leaned over the nearest one. He picked up a newly hatched dragonette and tickled it under the chin. As it flamed excitedly, he lit his cigar and savoured the smoke. He blew a smoke ring at the figure hanging from the ceiling. Good morning, he said. The figure twisted frantically. By an amazing feat of muscle control, it had managed to catch a foot around a beam as it fell, but it couldn't quite pull itself up. Dropping was not to be thought of. A dozen baby dragons were underneath it, jumping up and down excitedly and flaming.
Good morning, said the hanging figure.
Turned out nice again, said Vimes, picking up a bucket of coal. Although the fog will be back later, I expect.
He took a small nugget and tossed it to the dragons. They squabbled for it. Vimes gripped another lump. The young dragon that had caught the